Welcome to another interlude of Full Cow Edge Talks Leather and Kink. Interviews are like mini episodes that take place between the episodes. They feature no editing, but they do feature leather creaking. So in this one, as in most of them, I want to talk about what's going on in my life. And yesterday I went to get my septum piercing stretched from a 10 to an 8. So let's think about body modification, at least my experience with it. And for people who don't know, septum piercing is a piercing in the nose. If you've seen a nose ring hanging down, that's the septum, and it actually goes more through the skin and then through the cartilage of the nose. I have two piercings. I have my frenum pierced as well, which for men who are circumcised is the little bit of skin left over from the circumcision on the underneath of the head of the penis. So unlike a PA, frenum is just going through skin. It's not going through the urethra at all. And I also have two tattoos. On the left is a tribal phoenix, and on the right is a sort of Chinese dragon. The curious thing about body modification for me is that, and this happened quite by accident, but for most of my life, I've marked significant ages with body piercings. I got my frenum pierced when I turned 30, and that was very specifically about celebrating turning 30. I got my septum pierced at 35, and that was about finishing my doctoral degree. I got my first tattoo, the phoenix on the left, at 40. That was definitely about celebrating 40. And I got my second tattoo, my Chinese dragon, at 45, which was about celebrating turning 45. Ironically, I didn't do anything for 50. You know, at first for 50, I'd planned a really big birthday party, a big blowout party with like 100 friends. And then there was COVID. So instead, late for my 50th, I purchased my Langlets instead. And you're the beneficiary of that if you like the leather creaking, because that is my Langlets creaking. I do like the idea of using body modifications in general, whether that's a tattoo or a piercing, to mark something significant. I feel like they operate really well and have historically in tribal communities operated as meaning markers. And it is worth noting that many of these practices, tattoos and piercings, are slightly colonialist because as a Western white male, I am appropriating practices from tribal communities that were probably colonized, perhaps even decimated by colonization. So I want to offer some awareness of that. I do think it helps being leather folk because we are tribal as well, and we are a little bit outside Western imperial structures of power. We are a bit of the outcasts, or at least I like to think so. So getting back to the topic, if you are considering a body modification, you may want to think about tying it to something important. This, I think, was especially true for my tattoos, because I felt like the actual tattoo was a little bit like a receipt. The prolonged process of being under the tattoo gun is the thing. It was that trial of some extended pain. It was that trial of determination and my ability to go through that. That was the significant thing. And what I get as a receipt or as a souvenir or as a reminder is this beautiful tattoo on my body. Piercing was a little bit different because, you know, that was not as painful for as long. My experience with piercing, my frenum, which is my first significant piercing I got when I turned 30. The piercing itself didn't hurt that bad. You know, it's a little piece of skin. It happens very quickly. There was a lot of bleeding. I mean, my penis was wrapped up in cotton by the time I left. The first thing I did when I got home is I jacked off because I was so aroused by everything about it, right? I felt so much closer to the leather community. I thought it was so hot, and it was really either really hot or really disgusting because there was this pile of blood and cum when I was done. So either that completely just made you hard or you're going to stop listening. I got my frenum, my septum no, my friend embarrassed at a 10. And then somewhere along the lines, I don't know why, I decided to stretch it to an 8. Oh, God, it was so painful. That is very sensitive skin down there. And stretching it was not fun. And my friend was actually, that took almost an entire year to heal. Because, you know, it's in kind of a dirty area that's filled with bacteria. And although I did my very best to practice really good care of that piercing, it really wasn't until I did a series of baths with tea tree oil that it really healed fully. So I'm not going to say it didn't, it's not like it didn't heal at all, but it took a long time to heal fully. And I, you know, I could have a ring in there. I could flip the ring behind my glans, the head of my penis. It could act even as a slightly like a cock ring. I don't tend to do that. I have a bar with two little balls. So they're just two little metal balls, like little eyes on the bottom of my penis. Mostly because, you know, it doesn't get in the way of anything I want to do with my penis. So if a man's swallowing it or wherever I'm putting it inside of a man, it's not going to catch in on anything. It's not going to chip a tooth. And I like that it's decorative. It's not particularly functional, but it's also not obstructive. And that's what I like about my frenum. My septum, you know, when you pierce that area, it's really close to the nerves that control the tear ducts or whatever. So you cry. It's sort of autonomic. So I did cry when I got my septum pierced. My septum healed very quickly. I want to say about 6 weeks. And it's, you know, don't tell my frenum, but my septum is my favorite piercing. In part, I think, because of the options of jewelry I can have in it, but also because for a large part of the time, I wear a black niobium horseshoe retainer, which means I'm walking around with a piercing on my face and no one can know. And I like that kind of secret knowledge that it provides. But I just recently stretched it. I stretched it from a 10 to an 8. Didn't hurt at all. I mean, the piercing's so old and it was probably already close to an 8 just from the weight of jewelry hanging off of it throughout time. And I'm not, as sad, I'm 8 still looks little tiny. So I'm probably going to go to a 6, but I'm going to wait a few months. All of this is because I've decided I'm going to start wearing my septum to work. And I talked to my boss about it and he didn't necessarily have a significant problem with it. And there are a lot of reasons I've chosen to do that. I was very inspired by a friend of mine who is an engineer and who is works with the government. I'm like, well, God, if he can work with the government and the government doesn't tell him anything, maybe I can wear my piercing. So that was part of it. A large part of it was also getting into my 50s and feeling like, Jesus Christ, if I can't do what I want, if I can't be fooling myself in all situations in my 50s, then when the hell is that going to happen? So it's really about being myself in all times and all places. And it was a little bit about doing some self-fashioning now that I'm single, sort of remaking myself in ways that I want to, because I don't have anyone to check in with and say, I don't have to say, hey, baby, I'm thinking of stretching. What do you think? I can just do whatever the hell I want. And so I'm sort of embracing that freedom. So I'm happy with the 8. I'm going to go to a 6. I don't think I'll go to a 4. For those of you who've never been pierced, the lower the number, the thicker. Gauge is opposite, right? So lower, bigger, bigger, lower. And a 4 is really big. 4 is really big. But I think a 6 might be a good place to land, and that's my plan. You know, my experiences with tattoos were even more invested with meaning. Obviously, it took me till 40 to get my first tattoo, and that's because you really, really, really do want to think very long and hard about your tattoo, because it's going to be on your body practically forever, unless you get it laser removed, which is a whole different interlude. And I went with the Phoenix because I was really in part celebrating 5 years of recovery from my crystal meth addiction. So it was about rising from the ashes. It also has worked into it a couple of numbers that are very special to me that are hidden within the design. And if you ever meet me and if you ask, I'll show you, mostly because it means you've listened to my interlude and I'm really grateful for that. The process is very interesting. So, you know, I'm not a pain pig. And I didn't think I had a lot of experience with endorphins until I got tattooed. And I remember at first, you know, the tattoo gun feels a little bit like, oh, like a tip of a knife just sort of scraping against your skin. And you're like, oh, okay. That feels kind of annoying. And then as the artist continued, at some point, my endorphins kicked in. And I was like, oh, I love you. Oh, I'm part of the universe. When we took a break. I felt like I was walking on the moon, and I was loving it. The endorphins are fantastic, and they're a great, great side effect of being tattooed. And maybe one of the reason people get addicted to tattoos. That's an interesting thought. The thing with endorphins is, like, your body only produces so much, and then you don't have any more. So the endorphins wore off, and then I just remember being annoyed, deeply annoyed. Like, oh my God, when is this going to end? When is this going to end? And the Phoenix was really remarkable because my artist was a trooper. I want to say it was a 12-hour tattoo, and we did it in one sitting. And it was worth it. I was very happy with it. And what I also noticed is, you know, when I first grew a mustache, it opened the door to a whole new group of men for me. Like before, there were men who thought I was cute and would have sex with me. But once I had facial hair, then I became closer to hot and people would have sex with me. Like, it just opened a door to a whole new pool. The same with a tattoo. The moment I got a tattoo, people who had never paid any attention to me were suddenly really interested in me. It really put me in a new pool of men. And that was a really lovely experience. My second tattoo was a far more challenging experience, you know, because my late husband died 1 week before my 45th birthday. So I didn't actually end up getting the tattoo until, I think around March of 2016. And so it's both to celebrate 45, but the dragon tattoo is also to honor him and to remember him. And on the underside of my arm, the dragon tail is in a figure eight, which is the infinity sign. And it's to show that I'll love him forever. And it also has some numbers secretly hidden into the design that are very special that I will show you if you ask, because you've listened to my interlude. In that time, my artist, who had gotten bigger, more famous, more busy, more expensive at that point, he also changed the way he works. We did that in at least two sittings, maybe three. Don't tell the Phoenix, but the dragon is my favorite tattoo. It is just, I think, stunning. And, you know, in both cases, I went to my artist and asked for what I wanted. And the first time, I'm like, I want a tribal phoenix, because I loved the kind of boldness, graphicness, angularity of tribal work, but I wanted a phoenix. And he threw something together, and I'm like, well, can you change a few things? And I was like, okay. And it's a great tattoo, but it wasn't, I don't think, ever exactly what I envisioned, in part because it's really hard to marry a phoenix with a tribal. But I still love that one. When I went to my artist for the dragon, I said, imagine a Chinese dragon walking along the street and a dinosaur comes by and stomps it flat. I wanted something very graphic looking, something very woodcut looking that had been three-dimensional and been kind of smashed flat. And he nailed it. It is so beautiful. It's exactly what I wanted. And it is my favorite tattoo. I love that my tattoos kind of poke out from my arm sleeves if I'm wearing like a polo shirt at work, which I do all the time. I love this sort of hint that I have this side to me, and you can see it's there, but you can't see all of it. You don't know how far the tattoo goes or what the full design is. I absolutely love that. One of the things I don't love about getting tattooed is the shaving, because obviously they got to get to the skin. And having chunks in my chest shaved, for someone who likes really hairy people, that was not fun for me. There are areas of the body that when you get tattooed, you didn't think would, like, I didn't think my chest, I don't think, I did not imagine getting my chest tattooed would hurt, because I'm like, oh, that's a big chunk of muscle. That'll be fine. Wrong. It is extremely painful to get your chest tattooed. I don't know why. Obviously, it was the worst up on my shoulders near my collarbone, because that was very thin skin. Arms were not too bad. I think I'm done getting tattoos. I don't feel another one inside me, nor do I know where I would want to put it. Now, I don't believe, I would never want a tattoo that I can't see. So I'm not going to get anything on my back. I don't believe in leg tattoos that go all around the leg, particularly around the calf, because I feel like I'm 5'7", and I think they would just sort of cut me off at the legs and make me look shorter. So theoretically, I have thought about something across my outer thigh into my inner thigh or something like that. But I don't know, maybe for 55, I do feel that one of the factors in getting my septum stretched is that this is a sort of delayed celebration, body modification of 50. So I'm going to count this as my age 50 body modification. There was a, you know, there was a pandemic. Technically, we're still in it. So I think I get a pass on that. And then the question becomes, what happens in 2025 when I turn 55, God willing? I don't know. I don't desire any more piercings. You know, getting pierced nipples is very popular, particularly when I was in coming out in leather. Like, everybody was getting their tits pierced when I was coming out in leather. But I have extraordinarily sensitive nipples. And my understanding is that the piercing can either make your nipples more sensitive or it can remove sensitivity. And the very thought of losing what are essentially to me two extra sexual organs on my chest, I cannot stomach the idea. I cannot. I adore my tits so much. I would not dare put them at risk that way. So I will not get my nipples pierced. I don't want a PA. It doesn't appeal to me. I can't think, you know, I don't want an ompalong or any of the other strange ones on the penis. I don't feel like adding a Jacob's ladder with my septum. I mean, my friend, I think I'm done with primary body modifications, but I'm grateful for them and I love them. So, for those of you who have tattoos or piercings, I hope this has been kind of entertaining and reflecting on your own experiences and what we had in common or what you found was different or what I didn't talk about that you're like, how could he not talk about blah, 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 right? I love that we can have common experiences and share stories around them. For those of you who have no tattoos or piercings, well, this was my experience. You can think about it. Maybe it'll inspire you. Maybe it will deter you. I don't know. I will also say I do not wish that I had gotten tattooed any sooner. I think I got tattooed exactly when I was supposed to in life. I'm very glad I did wait. That worked for me. And I am just extraordinarily happy with my body modifications. I'll be happier when my septum is at a 6. And I think I'll do that for my birthday in the fall, or I'll do it for the new year, because they're very insistent on waiting at least 6 months. I think that's a little crazy. So I might also do it when I get back from Ireland. So I might do it in August. I might do it in late October, or I might do it in January. Let's see. Perhaps I'll do another interlude then. That's it for now. I'm actually leaving this interlude and going to finish up the editing and assemble the episode for the episode on dominance. It's really a delight to work on this podcast. It's a lot of work, but it is a delight. And what makes it a delight is not just me sitting in my office/playroom talking into a boom microphone with a windscreen filter. That's not the delight. The delight is all of you who give me your time, who enjoy my content, who amazingly like the sound of my voice and the creak of my leather. So thank you. Thank you for listening to this interlude. And I hope life is treating you very kindly. And if it is not, then I hope you remember how very strong you are. Until next time.